Hey there, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 122nd episode of Thea's Tea. Thanks for tuning in. For this week's tea talk, I am drinking some miraculous peach tea from the brand Elephant, my go-to tea brand here in France. It has peach, apricot, and guava. I'm drinking it in this mug that's like a metallic material, which is like a conductor of heat. So it's really hot to drink from, but we will work through that. I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I look crusty because I was wearing mascara yesterday and the makeup remover, like the cotton rounds, those cotton rounds suck. I cannot remove like nail polish or makeup with it. And I know the problem is the cotton rounds because I've tried using the same products but with other cotton rounds and it works fine. It's just, I don't know, these cotton rounds like absorb all of the liquid and they can't like properly transfer it to other surfaces. I don't know. But yeah, unrelated, I just glanced at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh, you are looking rough because I still have like mascara all over because I couldn't remove it with those terrible cotton rounds. Anyways, as I was saying, mug, very hot, hard to drink from. It's from the local coffee brand in Colombia, Juan Valdez. I don't want to say it's like the Colombian Starbucks because this is the mother of all other coffee shops, you know? Rather, Starbucks is like the gringo Juan Valdez, okay? So yeah, I just love it. This cute little mug. It's like an electric blue color, which I love. Honestly, one of my favorite colors. And it says, Felicidad se escribe con café, which is a play on words because it basically says happiness is spelt with coffee because the letters that make up coffee are all found inside the word happiness. And yeah, it just has like some little white dots as if, you know, you had like a paintbrush and you splattered all over it a little bit. That's kind of how I relate it. And it's just got like this design of like feathers. I don't know, like a very boho design. And I reached for this mug because over a week ago, I broke my French press on accident. It was a disaster. It was full. Well, not full, but it was like halfway full. So in addition to having to clean up like all the glass, I had to clean up all the coffee that spilled. It was a disaster. And so like, obviously I can go out and get a new one, but I kind of don't want to because it's like, I deserve to be punished because I broke it myself, you know, like that's kind of cruel, but it's like, I'm not going to reward myself for breaking it, you know? So I'm going to see how long I can live without a French press because I'm stuck with instantaneous coffee, which tastes terrible. I can't get it right. It's nasty. I don't even know if it has caffeine because I feel sluggish all day. But yeah, that just like seeing that mug reminded me of coffee and how much I love coffee and how hard it is to live without a French press. For the layout of this episode, it is a Sunday afternoon. It's 2:27 p.m. I am still in my pajamas looking at my computer. It's actually quite a sunny day. It's cold, but it's sunny, which is nice. I haven't left my house all day. I don't think I will. It's just one of those at-home Sundays, productive, prepare for the week, which I'm not complaining about. I'm wrapped up in a blanket. The heat's on. The glasses are on. It's a vibe. Let's get to it. What has been going on this week? I was coming from a period where every life update, I would just kind of like do a daily rundown of the past week. And I feel like that's kind of annoying and repetitive from episode to episode, because at least last semester, every week looked more or less the same. Like I had the same distribution of classes, the same extracurriculars. So I don't know if that got like bland to hear or like to listen to. So I don't know, I'm gonna try just like highlighting the main points of the past week. But something important that happened is that I started classes. I started classes for the second semester. I remember last episode, I was probably talking about how awesome a weekend I had had of freedom. And now a week later, I started classes. So I'm pretty much like in a different place. The new classes this semester are hard, to say the least. The second years told us that this semester that we're currently doing was the hardest one they had ever done, like in all of their university career. It was the hardest that they had been through. So that obviously scared us. And I guess the good thing is that the program has been changed a little bit with respect to last year because, you know, they like communicated properly to make sure that, for instance, in physics or in chemistry, we would have learned in math already, like the mathematical notions we would need
to use in those other classes, which wasn't the case last year. So it's like good because they made the changes, but it's also bad because we're the first ones they're trying that. They're trying like this new method on. So I don't know, it could go well, it could go terribly, and we will have to pay the price for that. So it's kind of annoying, but nonetheless, I'm grateful. I feel really interested in my classes. Like, I don't know, just having like the first few lectures, I felt like pretty excited. And even the classes that seem hard are like interesting. And so yeah, I feel like good vibes from the classes. It's not that last semester I didn't like my classes, or I don't know if just by the end I had gotten kind of sick of them, but I don't know, I feel like really motivated for the classes that I have this semester. It's just kind of annoying because I have a whole bunch of chemistry. And listen, I wasn't the type of physicist that would be like, oh my gosh, I hate chemistry, because I know that they're very connected and that you can't really do physics without chemistry. But this past week, I did more chemistry than physics. That's not what I want either. And I don't know, I'm getting to see a side of chemistry that I really don't like that much. So yeah, that's kind of annoying. But the reason behind that is that in the second semester, the two like majors of physics and physics chemistry, like a joint major in that, have the same classes. I don't know why. So yeah, I'm seeing as much chemistry as the students that are in physics and chemistry. And I'm like taking the same chemistries as the chemistry major, as chemistry majors. Obviously with like less intensity, less hours, so we obviously go less in depth, but a lot of it's the same. So yeah, that's just kind of like mind-boggling a little bit. But yeah, all in all, I am very happy with the classes. And I noticed that I've had a lot of fun preparing for them. Obviously, it could be just like the beginning of the semester excitement. But I feel like now that I've had like an entire semester here, I know how things work. I know how I need to prepare for classes. I know what I'm expected to do. I know how to work around all of that. So I feel like I'm just like starting off like way better than I started the last semester. And I have had genuinely so much fun preparing for these first few classes and revising these first few classes. And I feel like it has genuinely been a healthy relationship. In STEM, there are things that like a bunch of your work consists in doing exercises, solving problems, actively thinking. And there's also a part that's kind of like more passive, which is kind of like reading. And obviously it shouldn't be passive reading, like you should be actively trying to understand and everything. But I say that it's passive because like you're not like scribbling things down, you know, thinking, you're just kind of trying to take in the information. And usually I would always prefer that side because it's kind of like easier and it doesn't put in evidence your weaknesses because you're not really like doing anything. So you can't like see the things that you don't understand. But honestly, for these first few classes, I have been so excited to do the exercises, to do the problem sets, to try like approaching and tackling problems. Even if I make mistakes, I've been really looking forward to doing that and enjoying it and being able to spend like a lot of time doing it and not feeling the time passing. So I feel like that's a very positive sign because it shows that I have grown and that I've become more comfortable with these types of problems, even if they're hard. But like now I don't really just take it like all that personally if I'm not able to solve it at first. And I'm not scared to make mistakes on my own. So I don't know, I feel like that's very positive, and I feel like that's the approach that you should be having if you're in STEM. Again, it could just be the beginning of the semester excitement. It probably will wear off, but I hope it doesn't wear off that much and that I can continue pushing myself to do the important things, you know, and prioritize the important parts of my learning process. And honestly, this past like week, I've been trying to take it slow. It has been really easy to reach my goals of like amount of hours to study every day. But like normally I would try to like push further, but not this week. I really just don't want to overdo it because at the beginning of the semester, like I don't want to study so much, so hard that I burn myself out at the beginning. I'd rather take it a little bit, like feel like I'm taking it a little bit easy right now so that I don't burn myself out and that I can be consistent and study at a consistent rate for the rest of the semester. So yeah, I've been trying to take it slow. It has felt really good, and it has left me with a lot of free time, which I don't know how I didn't have that much free time last semester. I just feel like I have a bunch of free time on my hands, even though I've had more or less the same amount of classes and the same amount of like studying time. I don't know what's different, but I've just been taking up that time to like watch Netflix. It's weird because when I'm facing this free time, I don't know what to do, so I'll just turn to like watching some Netflix. But yeah, I don't know what else to do. I mean, this podcast is my hobby, but it doesn't require that much time. And then again, I think that just this past week I had a little bit more free time. Maybe the upcoming weeks I won't. So yeah, it was good to like be able to lie down and watch Netflix, but I don't think I'll have that much time to do that as the semester progresses. This semester, I wanted to take two dance classes, salsa and bachata. The salsa one, I went and literally got kicked out because the teacher said I needed to be an advanced level. And I was like, "Mister, I come from Colombia." And he was like, "That doesn't mean anything. I'm French and I can dance." And in my head, I was like, "Yeah, I can tell you're French. It's very clear in your hips." so yeah, salsa kind of backfired. But I did manage to go to bachata with some friends, and it was so cool, so exciting. I'm excited to continue going to that for the rest of the semester and find another sport to do instead of salsa. I want to do swimming because some of my friends are in that, and I used to swim when I was little, and I really like it, so I'd love to go back to that. Or hip-hop also. I do want to like dance as well, so maybe that. So yeah, that's kind of like an update on the sports that I'm taking this semester. Last semester I did Pilates and yoga, and this semester I wanted to do a bit more like active things. Another fun thing to report is that this past week on the 2nd of February, it's like a crepe day. Like, I don't know why they celebrate and honor crepes or like what it's about, but a bunch of restaurants had like discounts. So I went with some friends and it was so nice to just like have that for dinner. They would throw in a free like dessert. It was really fun. And that, I don't know, like random things like that, that sort of shake you out of your routine are very exciting for me. So I enjoyed that. And then something that I did yesterday was like, there was this huge kind of like market fair in Bordeaux. So there were just a bunch of people selling things at really cheap prices. So I got kind of like a vest, like a puffer vest, black, like pleather, and I love it. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's so cute. I've currently been like obsessed with those types of puffy vests, so I'm very happy that I got that. And I went to a cafe with a friend, and yeah, I just like got some little knickknacks, so it was a fun event. And yeah, those were pretty much like the highlights and most notable things of this past week. Let's get into the episode. So why do I want to record this particular episode? I realized that there had been an underlying phenomenon in multiple areas of my life. And this is related to really just romanticizing the unattainable. I noticed kind of like this perspective that I had in a couple of areas in my life that seemed pretty different. And then I realized that what was happening in each one of these cases was that I was romanticizing the unattainable. And what made me realize this that was going on was that in some of these cases, this thing that I was romanticizing suddenly didn't become, like, stopped being unattainable. It became attainable. And then I realized that I stopped romanticizing it. So yeah, that was just something that I kind of revealed and learned about certain areas of my life. And really, like, what was going on was that I was clinging on to an idealization or something that I had kind of like manufactured inside of my head, or something that, yeah, seemed like pretty distant. And I realized that the magic would disappear when these faraway things either became closer, whether it was physically or chronologically, or when they suddenly became like something possible for me and it didn't, like, it wasn't so out of reach. And honestly, that's a weird place to be in, because you could be thinking, oh, if these are good things and they're becoming like closer, then that should be a good thing, right? You know, like, it's finally becoming possible. It's finally materializing. And if it's something that you want, then you should be excited, right? But at the same time, it's like, oh, you know, for all this time, you've been so excited and so happy about this thing, but you know that it's so far away that you don't exactly have to worry about how it's going to actually play a role in your life. And then it finally comes and you're like, oh, I'm not ready for this. Or like, oh, I'm actually going to have to deal with this. And maybe you think like, oh, I maybe just liked the idea of this better than the actual thing. So when this happens, it kind of feels like the glass is shattering, because kind of like this perfect faraway crystal ball just kind of explodes, because it's like, okay, it becomes real, and everything that's real is inherently imperfect. And it kind of launches you into a crisis, especially like if you look at it under the angle that so much of your identity was built surrounding this thing that you dreamt of, you know? Your relationship with this thing was the relationship of something that you would admire from afar that didn't actively play a role in your life. So now that your dynamic with this thing is going to transform itself, you're like, oh, like, I don't know how to interact with this thing in a different type of way, you know? So like, who am I with regards to this thing that no longer is far away and distant and unattainable? I didn't even think about analyzing this under this lens, and it's romantically, but now as I'm saying this, it comes to mind, and I'm not going to dedicate an entire section of this episode to it, but what I do want to say is, I feel like sometimes this can happen in relationships. For instance, if you've had a crush on somebody for a really long time, and then you finally get together, it's like, oh my gosh, a dream come true, but it's also like, oh, you know, like, I have based my personality on having a crush on this person for so long and having it be like not reciprocated, and now like that core part of my identity has radically changed, you know? So it kind of like sends you into a little bit of a crisis, and it feels like, oh, now what, you know, this thing that I've been fighting for so long now just kind of like fell into my lap. So I don't know, that's kind of like the crisis that I want to try to explain. And to do that, we'll be analyzing three specific examples in my life. The first one is dreaming about another career path. The second one is my relationship with astrophysics. And the third one is me thinking about my hometown, Medellin, and what it will be like when I return there after studying abroad for a year. If you like this whole talk on romanticization, I invite you to listen to another episode that I did a while ago called Romanticizing Your Life. And that is one of the public's old favorites. It will be linked in the show notes along with everything else I mentioned in this episode. But yeah, in that episode, I just kind of talk about the magic of romanticizing the daily things in your life and the little things, and how that can kind of like transform the way you see your life. It's kind of like unrelated to this topic, but if you like talking about romanticization, then that episode can be good for you. Without further ado, let's dive right into this episode. What is the connection between romanticizing the unattainable and me imagining another career path? I talked a bit about this in my most recent Q&A, but I wanted to bring it up again because it is something that I think about like often, and it ties in perfectly to what I want to be discussing today. So what happens with me is that whenever things get hard in school or when I'm in the library, that's the library that we share with like the humanities faculty. So there are a bunch of people doing STEM, but a bunch of people doing humanities as well. Or when I see the lives of people that don't study STEM, here in France or back home in Medellin. Under all of those circumstances, a part of me kind of wishes that that were me. Obviously, the lifestyle of people that study the humanities and the people who study STEM is very different. The workload is different. The work distribution is different. The way you work is different. And so in consequence, your general lifestyle is different. The amount of time that you can devote to other activities, the type of activities you're probably prone to, etc., etc. Like, there are so many differences. And so whenever I'm in those situations of either like complaining about my life or exposure to these other kinds of lives, my mind always goes to the place of thinking like, oh, what if I studied a humanity? Or what if, you know, it were me there doing those things, facing obviously not no struggle, but like different kinds of struggles. And it's something that I've never like been able to shake off. And honestly, maybe I never ever will shake it off. And something that like kind of validated this feeling was an episode that I heard about your dream jobs. And it's an episode from the Psychology of Your 20s podcast. And she was basically kind of like debunking the concept of your dream job and explaining that you don't need to have a dream job or need to be working your dream job in order to be happy. And she was also saying that like, as you know, in this current age of time where there are so many different opportunities to work in and so many different jobs, like it's very normal for people to feel like they want to try it all, they want to do it all, and just kind of like imagine themselves going down different career paths. And that's something that really resonated with me, because I honestly feel like I wish I could do a bunch of different careers and learn a bunch of different things and work in a bunch of different like jobs. So idealizing these other fields is something that I do a lot, because obviously I'm in the field I'm in and I love it, But sometimes it gets hard, and I feel like the first place our minds go to when things get hard in our lives is kind of like, think about other circumstances, and of course the grass is always greener, or always seems to be. So it's just kind of like a pattern that I find myself falling into quite often. But that moment of idealization doesn't last that long, because then of course I realize that these other career options aren't always fun and rainbows. Of course, like, it's a different type of work, you know, and it's not all super easy all the time. It's not like, you know, the only thing that's making life hard is the career path that I chose, and if I switched, that would automatically disappear. Like, girl, not at all. Of course, it's a different type of work. I can't deny that. But what I can say is that it seems ideal because it excludes the core of what makes what I do so hard. For instance, as I said before, a lot of what STEM work consists of is doing, you know, like doing exercises, thinking of how to apply these formulas. And maybe humanities don't have that so much. And so because they don't have that hard part that STEM does, one could think like, oh, you know, they eliminated that hard part, so it's automatically all easy. But then you realize that they maybe have a greater amount of reading, and the little reading that you do in STEM doesn't seem that hard. But then since they have to do so much reading, it quickly becomes difficult and hard to keep reading. So there you go. That career path that you were just saying was super easy doesn't look so easy now. And that just goes to show that there's hidden difficulty everywhere. Like, you can't escape hard things in any career path is what I'm trying to say. And again, like, I know that people in STEM kind of have a superiority complex because they think that what they do is the hardest, and it is very hard in many ways, but that doesn't mean that other like fields don't have difficulty themselves. And it gets like, when you're wrapped up in like that stress and you think like, oh, if I had chosen this, my life would be easier. I mean, yeah, it would be different, but it would still have other kinds of difficulty, which is at least some what I forget to realize a lot of the time. So this is just kind of like what I need to tell myself in order to remember that it's difficult, like, under any path. You can't escape it. And as I said, I wish I could have 10 careers. So this all just kind of feels like a door that will never close, you know? I chose physics, and I choose physics every day with my heart. But it kind of does feel like there are all of these other doors that will never be closed, you know? And an example of this is the other day I was talking with my friend Yemen, and she grew up kind of traveling the world as well. And she's also studying physics. And I was telling her that my parents work in tourism. And I told her that my dad, you know, worked in the hotel industry. And she was like, oh, that's so cool. I, like, if I weren't studying physics, I would be like studying in hotel school. And I was like, oh my gosh, I considered that as an option as well. And it's true, I did consider at one point, you know, like going into the hotel industry. But the point is that when we had like, so that was a while ago, and then I never really thought about it again. But after this conversation, it kind of like opened that door up again. And it was like, oh, like, remember you really wanted to do this, you know? And it kind of like, all of those memories kind of like came flooding back into my head. And so that's the thing, I feel like there are these doors that will never entirely close. Because it just took like one comment for me to remember everything that I had thought about, you know, all of like these options and everything. So yeah, I feel like they're doors that will never fully close. And honestly, I think that great part of this is due to the fact that I put other careers on a pedestal, because since I haven't lived them and experienced them firsthand, and I probably never will, which makes them, keyword, unattainable, I idealize them by only thinking of the good. As I said, I've never experienced studying humanities in a university level, so I don't know the actual struggles. And I can only imagine the good parts, which is what leads me to idealize it so much. If I did experience these alternative career paths, I think they would quickly be removed from that pedestal, and I would face the harsh realities that they can also entail. Therefore, the unattainable would cease to be romanticized. Now, let's talk all about astrophysics. So, astrophysics has been the domain I have wanted to get into for a while. I feel like when I chose that I wanted to study physics, I already knew that I wanted to go into astrophysics specifically, if I'm not mistaken, because at that time, like, I knew that astrophysics could either open the door for, like, research and investigation and, like, the European Space Agency and cosmology and all of that, but also if I wanted to go more into, like, the humanity side of things, then I could intersect that with, like, space law and the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs. So yeah, my point is, I've always been particularly inclined to astrophysics within the domain of physics. And when I was applying to schools in the US, I applied undergrad in a lot of them for astrophysics or astronomy or physics. So yeah, my point is, like, I knew very clearly that that's the path that I kind of want to go through. And in another reality, maybe I would be studying that as undergrad instead of, like, first physics and then specializing. And so a lot of the time, like, when I would tell other people that I was applying to schools abroad, they'd be like, oh, what do you want to study? And at that point, like, I was applying to astrophysics directly. So that would be kind of like what I would tell them. And now that I'm here in France, you know, and when I catch up with people back home, they ask me, like, oh, you're studying astrophysics there, right? And I think they probably wonder this, like, in part because that's what I told them I wanted to study, but also because astrophysics does sound, you know, fancier, when in reality, I'm just studying something that I could have perfectly studied back there in Colombia. Like, there are plenty of universities that offer just a normal physics degree. So in that sense, astrophysics still does feel like this idealized, perfect, like, untarnished, far away thing, because I'm not studying it yet, you know, I'm just doing normal physics. And even though I encounter obstacles in my normal physics degree, once I enter the world of astrophysics, I tell myself that everything's going to be perfect, that everything's going to flow, that everything's going to be easy, that since it's the domain that I care about, everything's going to be super interesting and super intuitive, which is obviously not the case. Like, even though it's what attracts me the most, it's still super hard and it won't be smooth sailing once I enter it. Like, I know that, but that's just kind of what I tell myself to kind of, like, explain when things are, like, hard in physics, like, oh, you know, this is just temporary. Once you're in your actual domain, it won't be like this anymore, which is just not true. And this semester, I'm taking an astronomy course, and basically it's a bunch of lectures from different astrophysicists. So it's like, wow, I'm getting already so much closer to my dream. And the interesting bit was when I went to the first session, the teacher was like, okay, yeah, so we're just going to be bringing in a bunch of astrophysicists from the university's astrophysics center. And she said it like that, as if it were the most normal thing in the world. First of all, I knew there was an astrophysics center in Bordeaux, but I didn't know that there was, like, a huge, like, astrophysics department in this very university. And even when I heard that there was an astrophysics center in Bordeaux, I had, like, kind of, like, that same glass-shattering effect, and I was like, oh, like, already? Like, I thought I was gonna have to fight more to find this, you know, but it's literally right here, right in front of me. And I don't want to sound, like, spoiled, but it's basically, like, I felt like my trajectory to get to these institutions would have to be longer, but, like, I could stay here for the rest of my life, you know, and I don't necessarily want to, but it's like, I'm already living in a city where these institutions exist. So going back to that moment where the teacher said that they would be bringing in professors from the astrophysics department of the university as if it were ever so casual, I just had a moment where I was like, oh, like, you're already here, you know, like, you wanted astrophysics? Like, here you go. And so I felt, like, so privileged to be there on the one hand, because I could only have, like, dreamed of receiving these types of conferences back in Colombia. And even if I did receive them, they would be from people that had nothing to do with the place that I was at, you know? But here, I'm not only receiving these conferences, but they're from people that are literally, like, two buildings away, and that are, like, doing research in this field, and that are, like, relevant, you know, like, important people. So it was, like, a moment of, like, so much gratitude. But also, on the other hand, like, I looked around me, and, you know, all of these people that, like, were probably French or European, and I'm French as well, but I come, like, from a part of my education in Colombia where I was very much, like, educated with the mentality of, we're a third world country. We can't do all of these fancy things that the leaders in science are doing. So I looked around to me to all of these people that were most likely raised with the mentality of, oh, you want this? We got this. Like, you want to study this? Oh, that's perfectly doable. And what's more is you can actually find a job that pays well in this. And that's just what they grew up with. And they never really had to see the other side of it and like what it's like to want to study these things in a developing country, you know? So, I mean, I kind of wanted to like shake all of them and be like, you guys are so lucky to just like get here like so directly and have like kind of a whole path be so easy to walk down, you know? And it's like, they probably don't even know what it's like to want to do these things when you come from another country, because like, how could they not? Like, when people ask me like, oh, like, why didn't you just study in Colombia? And I tell them like, do you know what it's like to have to explain to a first world citizen, like, you can't study anything you want in these countries and expect to make a living off of it? Like, how do you explain that to somebody? So my point is, now I'm in this situation where I have the same privilege as them, you know, where I have like the same opportunities and options as them. And if I'm honest, it feels kind of deflating. It's like, oh, like, you know, all of these things that I've heard for the past few years where it's like, you need to go to another country, you need to study in another country to be able to pursue your dreams. And it's like, well, now I'm here. And obviously I have all of my studies ahead of me, but it's like, I'm already here. Like, I'm already where I need to be in order to pursue my dreams. It's like, oh, like, I can't explain it. You kind of realize that there's no greater challenge now, you know, like, you're right where you need to be, and it's not this foreign institute that you need to go to. Like, it's been here all along. Like, I had experienced my whole first semester in this university not knowing that there was an entire like astrophysics department and a bunch of professors doing research in astrophysics. So this story is not all bad and sad and like me having a crisis, because you could imagine that after experiencing that, I would be like demotivated and be like, okay, well, like, what's the point? Like, I don't like this anymore. But I was lucky enough to have like the contrary effect. Those first few conferences made me so excited and so happy. And it was like so positive, because having like this close up and like this first contact with this field made me confirm that it is really interesting to me, that it is what I want to do, that it is where I want to work in. So yeah, fortunately it did make me, like, it did confirm the romanticization. What was that? Like, it did confirm that I was romanticizing the good thing, and that as this thing became like more attainable and more realistic, I didn't want to run the other direction, which I guess was maybe a fear that I had, because as I said at the beginning, I would tell myself that in physics, when things got hard, that would stop when I entered astrophysics. And I guess maybe a part of me was scared that if I did enter astrophysics and things did continue to be hard, I would kind of like not want to do it anymore. But I don't know, I feel like this experience, like these first few conferences that I've had, showed me that it is really where I want to be. And even if it is hard, which it will be, like, I'll want to continue putting up with it. But what I want to highlight of all of this experience is that there was a very real unromanticizing process that happened. You know, there was a moment where I realized that suddenly astrophysics is no longer so far away that it's not in your vision. Now you actually do have to think about it, you know, and it's not like, oh yeah, you know, this is my dream, where you can just like casually mention it and not give it a second thought and just be content with saying that and having it be a part of your identity. But really what's so much scarier and important is getting closer to it and incorporating it in your life and feeling it become more and more important and feel it becoming closer and being ready to embrace that and not want to run the other way if things aren't as perfect as you had romanticized inside of your head. That's where the real challenge lies. We've been talking about some pretty big, serious things for this episode. So for the last section, I want to kind of talk about something a little bit more chill. And that is Medellin, my hometown city. Represent. And if you have been following the podcast ever since I got here to France, you have heard a lot about my journey of, you know, adapting here, missing home, and just kind of like my relationship and my vision towards home and returning there. And I just kind of want to update you guys with my current view on that situation, because I feel like my perspective once again has shifted. So let me just say that I left at kind of a funny moment in my social configuration. I definitely do feel like I left at my peak, but maybe the reason that it is my peak is that it was in such an exciting moment that maybe if I had stayed there, things would have developed into like a less exciting version of what they were, and I wouldn't consider it my peak anymore. But yeah, this is why like I romanticize so much the version of my life there, because I left really at just like that climax moment. It was funny because I had just made like new friends and opened doors into like new friend groups that weren't entirely developed, you know? So it's kind of like that mystery of what could have been, you know? And I feel like that's really just the charm of the life that I left back in Colombia. And these groups of friends I have stayed in contact with, and, you know, I have kind of like continued to talk to as I've been away, but I can't imagine like a proper version of my life, me being there where we were super close, because I just didn't have the time. So part of me is like, what's it going to be like with those new friends once I go back? You know, like we didn't have the time to develop a proper friendship before I left the first time. Will we do that now? Or will we just sink back into nothingness? And then regarding like my older groups of friends, they have shifted a little bit. You know, some of my friends have gotten extremely close to people that I do not like. And so I just think like, oh, when I go back, would I want to be in that friend group knowing that there's so many people that I don't like? And also like people from my old friend groups have distanced themselves. So I know that when I go back, you know, the friend group kind of already disappeared. So I just have a lot of questions in terms of social configurations, you know, like what will all that look like? I don't exactly know what I'll be coming back to. And I can't help but thinking, what if nobody cares? What if everybody just like grew in different directions and they can't really be bothered to see me or include me or spend time with me? What if my return is not as spectacular as I've hoped? What if this vision that I've been feeding myself in the moments where I've been feeling the lowest, and kind of like these promises that I've made to myself, like, oh, when you go back, everything's going to be perfect. What if that doesn't play out? You know, it will be so disappointing to that me of a couple of months back, to which hearing that was the only thing that would bring her joy. And at the beginning, like my first few months here, thinking of my return was much easier because one, I was so desperate that I would just tell myself that everything in Medellin would be fine. And that would literally give me the motivation to keep like living here and getting up every day and, you know, doing what I needed to do, because I had the hopes that one day I would return and everything would be great. And I'm no longer in that point. Like, I'm no longer that desperate. I no longer cling on the idea of returning to be happy. Like, I'm happy here and I don't need to know that I'll be going back to Medellin in order to find a motivation to live. So there's been evolution in that. And also too, it was such a far away thing, like it was such a far away event that I didn't exactly have to think about the details. I would just tell myself like, oh yeah, when I go back to Colombia. But now it's like I have a date of when I will be going back, and it's getting closer and closer. And what really blows me away is that I'm getting glimpses of life in Colombia closer to when I'll return. So it's a more accurate representation of what life will be like when I return, you know? Like, for instance, the stories that I see now leading up to when I will go back will be more and more accurate of what life will be like when I return, you know? So if I'm going to picture myself under any circumstances, it should be under these, like, more updated versions. And honestly, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I'm falling back in the right moment, you know? Like, I know Medellin is a very like static city, and I know that so many things will be the same, but it feels like so many things will be so different, you know? And I've seen, like, from an outsider's perspective, I've seen how so many things have changed, you know, how so many dynamics have shifted, how unimaginable alliances and relationships have come to be. So yeah, I just kind of question, like, where am I going to fit in all of this, even if it's just for a 2-month period? And a part of me is like, yeah, you're not going back to fit in. You're not going to, you're never going to be a part of that again. You know, you're going as a stranger who's going to have a good time for 2 months and then is going to return her to her real life here. And just let it be what it has to be. But honestly, I'm scared and I don't want it to be an underwhelming experience. In conclusion, it was much easier for me to romanticize my return when it felt more out of reach. All right, so what did we discuss in this episode? At first, we talked about another career path and that in the hard moments for me, it was very easy for me to idealize other career paths because they're so out of reach that I'll never truly know what they consist in and I'll never truly know their struggles. And since I don't have any like access to that information firsthand, it's much easier for me to just imagine a good version of those alternatives and kind of pity myself for the option that I chose because there are these other easier paths that I turned down. And it's very easy to fall into that cycle, but kind of like what I learned that I could tap into to break that cycle is to know that every career path is difficult. It has its own ways of being hard that you can't truly imagine, but you just need to trust that none of them are perfect, and that kind of lets you like break into that cycle of romanticizing the unknown and romanticizing these other options and putting them on pedestals. And then we talked about that same dynamic in astrophysics and how I kind of felt deflated when I finally came into contact with this domain that I've been dreaming of for so long. And when you're in that situation, you don't really feel like you have that much to continue fighting for, but it really just is like the ultimate test. If you can continue loving and feeling passionate about this thing that was only spark-inducing because it felt interesting and far away, if you can still feel that once it starts becoming more and more real and less perfect, it's an indicator that you're truly where you're meant to be. So even though it's scary, it's a test you need to put yourself through. And what satisfaction it brings knowing that you still care just as much about something when it stops being so perfect and distant. Then we talked about sort of the reflections that I've made towards going back to Medellin and really how I felt like it was easier for me to idealize my return when it was so far away. And now that it feels closer and that I'm getting a better gist of who I'll be when I return and what everything will look like when I return, it kind of like confronts you with the reality and it stops being like fun and games and you have to ask yourself serious questions. So once again, this goes to show that it's so much easier to romanticize things that are unattainable. The question is, will you still care about them that much when they are real and imperfect? The recommendation for this week's episode is actually something that I mentioned throughout the episode, and it is a podcast, Psychology of Your 20s. I stumbled upon this podcast by accident, literally when I was looking for a song that had the word dream in it, and this podcast episode popped up. And so I listened to the podcast episode, which was obviously very informative for this episode, but also I loved the style of the podcast itself, because I love listening to like scientific podcasts, but also podcasts of the humanities. And the thing with the humanities is that like anyone can feel entitled to talk about them, but it's so refreshing when you have a humanities podcast that is actually well informed. And that's the case with this podcast. I don't know if the host is a psychology student, but either way, it's a person who is really well informed and that you can tell that does research for the episodes and for the content that they're going to present. And it just feels so good to listen to something that you know is like that well prepared and that well informed. And honestly, that's just like so much more interesting than what any random person can say off the top of their mind. And I know that's kind of like hate towards my own podcast, but you know, I just use this like as a form of personal therapy. But I don't know, it's just really refreshing to hear kind of like these easy topics, but in a very like informed professional way. I just loved it. And that's why I want to recommend this podcast today. You may have thought the episode was over, but we're bringing back a section I had at the very beginning of the podcast, and that is where I read reviews. I just stopped doing it because I stopped receiving reviews, But I realized that there's another way I could incorporate this. Basically, side note, if you guys would like to give me a review on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate it so much. I would love to read it on here. Or on Spotify, you can like follow the podcast and give it a rating. But basically, what I'm going to try to do for this section is on Spotify, you can leave comments on the episodes. And I usually ask you guys questions or just leave it as like an open forum for you guys to type what you thought about the episode. And I thought it would be fun to read the things you guys leave on there. Now, sometimes I will pin them on the episodes in such way that, for instance, if you're listening and you want to write something, you can see the things that other people have written. But also, I figured why not read them in the episodes as well. So this comment comes from the episode that I did called Life recently. It was just kind of like a big life update and summary of all the lessons that I had learned recently. And the comment comes from Kristen, and it says this: loved the style of episode even more than usual. Really poignant for me because I'm planning on studying abroad for college, and I just wanted to say that I'm really proud of you. Wow, so I loved this message, and I have seen that name coming up a couple of times, so let me just tell you that it warms my heart whenever you comment on the episodes, and it feels really great knowing that there are people out there that listen, especially so consistently, and that take the time to share their thoughts with me or express their gratitude or just kind of like share what they experienced on the receiving end of these episodes. What I always say is that this podcast is really just opening up a conversation, and I share my part and then kind of like sit back and have faith that after a certain amount of time, you guys will continue the conversation. And I love it when that happens. So thank you for this lovely message and for being such a loyal listener. Well, that's about it for this episode. I would like to clarify that I am not a specialist. Everything I share is based off of my experience and what I've learned. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at TheSTPodcast. I'm very active on there. It's a visually aesthetic platform built with interactive spaces for us. Please tag me on your stories and send me pics listening with your tea. Also, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe. Whatever your platform lets you do, it would help me out a lot. Because reviews are the only way I can start growing, getting recommended to new people, and being included in rankings. Plus, I read reviews on here, so if you want to be featured, go on right ahead. Please spread this episode with any friends or family you think will like it. I would love it for you to share your thoughts on this podcast. You can send me a voice message directly through Anchor or through my email, thestpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out for business inquiries and set up sponsorships through there as well. Make sure to check out the show notes. There's a bunch of fun stuff listed down there alongside with links to everything I mentioned here today. Remember, you can join me every Thursday for a new episode, including the last one of every month with the guest, and an additional bonus monthly Q&A. Thank you for your time and for joining me in my little corner of the internet. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Have a beautiful week and a wonderful existence.